Welcome to Two Peas on a Podcast. These current events and hot topics aren't going to talk about themselves. And now, here are the two Peas, Andy and Gerald.
Go, 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 shorty. It's your birthday. We gon' party like it's your birthday. We gon' sip a Cardi like it's your birthday. And you know we don't give up, cause that's your birthday.
Yes!
Woo!
So what up, people? Come on in! Bring that, it on in.
That might be my favorite hip hop beat of all time.
It's good, right, man?
When Dre came back with that, with 50 Cent's first album, and that beat dropped, I was like, what is that beat?
Dude, remember when How hot was that shit when that shit dropped? Dude? I listened to that shit like 100 times a day when it came out. Eminem's protege?
Yeah.
50 Cent?
That's a good album. Get rich or die trying, Gerald. Get rich or die trying.
I think it's going to be the latter for me. It hasn't happened yet, and I'm practically dead, so I'm going to go with the latter. 50 Cent. So a couple things there. It's episode 50.
Is it episode 50?
It's also technically our birthday.
Hey, Gerald.
One
it's our birthday.
Year, son. How you feel? You wore your two-piece shirt today?
I did.
I fucked up. I should have. I don't think I have one, though.
You don't have a shirt?
I gave you one, and I gave one to our patron.
You're not wearing a shirt today. I think you should put on a shirt.
That's unbelievable. I gave away all my shirts.
Halloween's over.
Yeah. I should be wearing clothes. I apologize. It's a little nippy outside today.
Yeah.
Thank you, 50 Cent, for episode 50. Episode 50. Should I put 50? Should I put 50? F-I-T-T-Y?
50.
When I do it?
Episode 50.
Episode 50.
Hey,
two peas.
It's Shipper.
Two Peas on a Podcast. Gerald is here.
Andy is next to Gerald, across from Gerald.
A little insider information. We have matching coffee mugs today. Let me get a little cheers on the mic there. You hear that, guys? So Andy got me, I think I mentioned this, but you got me an Epcot Center coffee mug when you went to Disney World.
I did.
And then it's from Starbucks.
I forgot, and I had to be reminded.
You were at Starbucks.
I was in the only time I went to Starbucks the entire trip.
Yeah, but it wasn't for me. You were just there.
I was in the Starbucks, and Becky said, hey, weren't you supposed to get one of the mugs for Gerald? I was right beside the mug. I was,
Leave it to Becky to save the day yet
Thanks,
again.
Thanks, Becky.
Unbelievable.
She is.
But I've got the Epcot one, and you've got the
North Carolina.
Yeah, the Starbucks version for North Carolina. Yes. What's it got on there? It's got the cardinal.
It's got some trees, a cardinal, a
lighthouse. It's got the lighthouse from Cape Hatteras.
Yes, I see.
Mountains.
Oh, the classic, the Wright Brothers plane.
First in flight, guys.
A pig.
Some kind of weird log cabin, which is probably like Andrew Jackson's house or something.
You eat pig? You eat pork,
Not
right?
live, but yes, I eat it if it's
Check
dead.
I was at a wedding this past weekend, and it was a Filipino wedding. Beautiful ceremony.
You married a pig.
But as part of the Filipino tradition, on a bed of bamboo, they had a whole pig.
Yeah, it's a thing, right?
Yes.
I heard it's a thing.
Yes. No, I mean, we live in the South, and we have pig pickings.
Well, we do.
In the Philippines.
Did you eat it?
This lady called. I didn't eat that night.
Unbelievable.
This lady said that our food is very similar to Southern food.
Interesting.
In Filipino.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Interesting. I knew about the whole, like, roasting the pig thing.
Yeah, but it was there, like, hoofs, ears, eyes. Like,
yummy.
Exactly.
All right, guys. So, look. Let me tell everyone real quick. So
tell
this is
them
our
what we're doing, Gerald.
This is a two. I forgot what we're doing. Let me remember. This is a Two Peas on a Podcast, episode 50. It is our 1 year anniversary show.
1 year.
It's been 1 year this week since we started the broadcast back in the election of 2016.
Yes, you folks out there in podcast land, you and I have been listening to Gerald talk for a year now. I just want to say thank you for hanging in there with me.
I gotta say, I didn't get creepy in the beginning though. It took a while.
Yeah,
I had to get into my
zone. Your innate creepiness kind of flowered
over
time. Like
I guess it blossomed into what we know now.
Like a rose.
Yes. But anyway, it's our 1 year show. So we're going to be doing some fun stuff that's a little different this week. We're still going to stick to our 60-minute format.
Be cool.
Or try to.
Yes.
We changed the format, what, 5 or 6 weeks ago?
Yeah, we haven't done we were doing an hour, like in a half hour and 45 minutes.
Well, we had to fucking dip that
nine
in the
butt, months.
There's too much news going on. We can't talk about all that.
We can't.
It made my head hurt. But anyway, we changed it back on episode 45, so about 5 or 6 weeks ago.
All right.
And what we're going to do, the first segment, we'll do entertainment news.
Okay.
We're still going to do that this
week. Okay,
that's a little This is a normal. This is a normal show.
It's normal.
We're not going to do anything crazy.
Don't be crazy.
But in the deep topic segment, what we're going to do is we're going to reflect on our best and worst news stories of the past year.
Interesting.
So it's not going to be like our year-end wrap-up, which we'll also do around Christmas time. But it's going to be, since we started the show, what's been the funnest thing what you enjoyed the most, the most feel-good story?
Feel good.
And then also, what was the worst story that kind of brought you down the most?
Yes.
So you're going to have a couple. You'll have one of each. I'll have one of each.
Okay.
And we'll basically spend the 20, 25-minute segment reflecting on those arguably big
Best
topics.
Best and worst discussed.
What affected us the most, I guess.
And when I got here this morning, Gerald was wearing his robe.
I brought it back.
Was a year ago.
I brought it. It's just like we snapped our fingers and here we are,
Bam.
Brother. It's like the ghost of Christmas past, you know? Here I am.
Here you are.
Except it's November and it's present, so I don't know. But anyway, you want to get in some...
Yeah.
You want anything to say about that? 1 year show, buddy.
1 year.
You want to say anything? No, you want to tell me happy birthday?
I just want to say thank you. I want to say thank you to both of our listeners.
Let's renew our vows.
All listening.
That's four, dude. Or no, five. We have five patrons.
Okay.
It's five listeners.
I want to thank
four of which you're going to be having Thanksgiving dinner.
Honestly, Gerald, if I can finish, please.
I'm sorry.
I want to thank everybody for listening. We really appreciate it. I really enjoyed talking to Gerald over this year. Gerald, thank you for... Gerald is the backbone of our organization. He gets all the news stories together. He does all the equipment stuff. He does all the editing. So, Gerald, I want to say thank you for doing all this work and allowing me just to come here and talk for an hour.
That means a lot, brother. And honestly, thank you as well, because you bring a new element. You know what I mean? You bring a very spiritual, deep kind of... Quintessential element. I feel like if I was having this conversation with anybody else, it would just be two dudes fucking talking about, you know, creepy shit. So you really,
you and all your other friends?
In other words, you really make me think. And there's a lot of times, honestly, and we're going to talk about a few of them today probably. But there's a lot of times when you really do make me feel better about some of the stuff we're talking about. And I listen to you, and then if I go back and listen, and I'm like, you know, he's making good points here. It's not as bad as everything seems. Andy has made me realize.
My life is not as dark.
The world is not as dark as I thought. Real quick, I just want to mention our Patreon page. Go to patreon.com/2peasonapod and donate to the show. You get to pick top five lists for us to do.
Yeah.
You get an autographed copy of Andy's book.
Bam!
You get t-shirts, which we aforementioned. You get, what else? You get stickers.
Stickers.
You get our love. And
who doesn't love a sticker?
Gratitude.
Our appreciation, which is priceless.
But our 1 year show. So give us a little birthday present there. Yeah. You know, throw us a dollar, man. It's nothing. We still got to get Sarah McLachlan to do that commercial, though.
Exactly.
I will donate to you.
So instead of holding the dog, she's holding you.
Yeah, just me, creepy as shit. She's just rubbing my bald head, you know. People sending money. All right.
Yeah.
All right, so let's do our entertainment topics here. So let's see. Ooh, we're not the only ones celebrating an anniversary.
We're not? Oh, my goodness.
We're not. So it's our 1 year anniversary today. Yes. But we're not the only ones. It is the 30 year anniversary this week of The Princess Bride.
Oh, my gosh.
Did you know that? Did I tell you that?
I didn't know that.
I thought I sent you that Entertainment Weekly article, but 30 years ago.
30
brother,
years of The Princess Bride. Inconceivable.
Not exactly. 1987, dude.
Wonderful.
One of my favorite, I say this every week when a movie comes out.
That's my favorite movie.
So what I need to do is I need to sit down and do like a top 10 of my favorite. But favorite I feel like this would be in the top 10.
Princess Bride. The story is the granddad is telling the story to the sick
Fred
child.
Savage. Fred
and
Savage.
At the beginning, the granddad, you know, the child is like, is this a good story? Goes, are you kidding? It's got fighting, pirates,
romance,
death, true love. And he's right. It's like you take every wonderful element of that kind of fantasy world and put them together into a perfect story. Great characters. It's very simple.
Yeah.
You have a giant.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Andre the Giant. Inigo Montoya, you killed my father. Prepare to die. I mean, that's great, right?
Just
so quotable.
Yes.
You know, have fun storming the castle.
You keep saying that word. I do not think it means what you think it means.
Billy Crystal, great role in that movie.
Yes. Wonderful. Well, Miracle Max.
Miracle Max.
You coat it in chocolate, it helps it
get What I wanted to say about Princess Bride real quick, and then we can move on.
You tell me.
But this is one of those few movies, I feel like I could count them on one hand.
Okay.
But it's one of those few movies that are like timeless where you can't wait to show your kids.
Oh,
you know, like I remember showing my daughter this movie when she was like 8. I felt like she could finally appreciate it. You know, up until you're like 7 or 8, you kind of lose interest and your attention span's not quite as deep.
Yeah.
So I remember showing it to her, and it ended up being one of her favorite movies.
Yeah.
And with my son in a few years, I'm going to show him. He's going to love it. You know,
here's the thing about the movies I love, and this is a great example of that. I don't know if this will make sense to you, but in that movie, from start to finish, you feel like there's not one scene, not one line, not one tree that doesn't have to be there.
Yeah.
You know, like every scene's important. I feel like the whole movie is just so simple and the storytelling is so tight. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no.
I just feel like it's just a great movie.
That's a good point.
It's just every part's just great.
It really is. And it's an adventure and it's a love story, brother. Yeah. I mean, hey.
And then we never get involved with the Sicilian when death is on the line.
That's good.
They were both poisoned.
So iconic, brother.
Yes.
All right, so...
I know where the poison is!
Happy anniversary
to
The Princess Bride. Thirty years ago this week. So The Lion King is getting a live-action reboot. We've talked about that before. It's coming out next year.
Like a Beauty and the Beast type of thing?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And they announced the cast for it.
Okay, here we go.
And I wanted to mention that on the show because some of these names had been thrown around, but it's been confirmed. I mean, it is an ensemble cast, brother.
Ensemble, got it.
So listen to this. So Donald Glover, we talked about, is going to be Simba.
Okay, cool. Okay, yeah.
I love him.
I wonder how they'll do, how's that going to work? He's going to be, like, in a costume. It's going to look like a Broadway play, dressed as a lion, or it's like a metaphorical lion. Like, how's that going to work, I wonder?
I don't, you know what? I was going to actually.
Because it's a movie of animals. Like, so how is it all CGI or?
I don't know. I got to be honest. I don't know if it's going to be like, you ever see the Jungle Book ones where they had the real animals, but they were voiced.
True.
So it might be like that.
Okay.
I hope.
Jungle Book was wonderful.
I mean, it would look weird
if
these guys are running around in, you know, felt costumes, but I don't know.
I didn't know if it's going to try to be like a Broadway thing. I don't know.
I don't either. Okay. They haven't really said. Okay, it's just so this live action.
Glover.
But, Donald Glover, Beyonce.
What?
Recently signed up to be Nala.
Interesting.
So actually, maybe hopefully there is live action people here if Beyonce's in it.
Nala is Simba's mom, right?
That's accurate. No, is that his love interest maybe?
Okay.
Oh, wait a minute. Which one's the one he like his age?
Okay, I don't know. Because Beyonce's, I mean, she's not too old, but she's a little old to be
the
child, right?
That's true. Yeah, maybe it is the mother.
I think Nala's the mom.
James Earl Jones, who was the voice of Mufasa in the animated Disney, is going to be Mufasa.
Of course, he's going to be
reviving
Mufasa.
His role there. Yes. John Oliver is going to be Zazu.
Really,
the little bird.
Okay,
yeah. So the British
John
bird there.
John Oliver.
Seth Rogen is going to be Pumbaa.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's going to be good. Okay. Billy Eichner is going to be Timon.
Okay,
love him too. Great comedian. We talked about him doing Billy on the Street last week.
Yes.
So are you excited for this? Do you care? Did you see the Beauty and the Beast one?
I didn't. Did you? I think my daughters liked it.
It's on Netflix now.
I think
though.
My
Did
daughters
you know
liked it. I didn't watch it.
Did you know it's on Netflix?
However, I liked. Like, Beauty and the Beast growing up, or when I was younger, not growing up, was an okay movie. Lion King I loved.
Mm-hmm.
I loved the movie Lion King. Mm-hmm. So I think I'm going to be more excited about this because, like the Jungle Book, I just liked the movie more.
Really?
Beauty and the Beast I wasn't ever really into.
I love Beauty and the Beast. I thought you said that was your favorite Disney movie, didn't you?
I said that.
You said that.
Like Robin Hood?
Yeah, you said some weird shit. Yeah, you
Robin
said Sword in the Stone.
And Sword in the Stone. It was the one I watched growing up. Yeah. But, I want to see Sword in the Stone.
I said Beauty and the Beast.
Yes.
I had a thing for Belle, man.
Yeah.
Belle was like the all-American, you know.
Yeah, long, dark hair.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm not getting creepy. You are. I'm not. I just said
I said long, dark hair. That's
okay,
not creepy.
Right, well, your face was a little, Belle. You're like, you're getting a little into it over there. So you excited for this one? You're going to see it in the theater, you think?
I don't see anything in the theater.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll take my kids.
You'll go see Star Wars. That's about it, though.
Star Wars is the only movie I ever see in the theater.
All right, let's give an update to our boy Kevin Spacey.
Okay, Kevin.
Jesus, dude.
It seems like no matter what happens, these things seem to snowball.
Oh, he's...
Like, one thing comes out about a character like this or a person like this, and all of a sudden, next thing you know, it's like, oh, by the way, he also shows pornography to staff members.
Exactly. Well, I was going to ask. I mean, it's definitely like kind of spiraling out of control. At least from his point of view. But I was going to ask you kind of what you just said there. So it's almost like one person in Anthony Rapp, we talked about, was last week, right? We talked about it.
Yes, we did.
Anthony Rapp, the actor, came out with his allegation against Spacey. And then it's just like, holy shit.
It empowers other people.
That's what I was going to ask you. So is that how you view it? You view it as other people now have an avenue to be like, oh, okay, well, if it's okay for Anthony Rapp to do it, let me go ahead and do it too.
Yes.
Or do you see it kind of like jumping on the bandwagon type thing?
I see it as a little bit of both. I mean, you don't want to believe in kind of the witch hunt scenario where everybody kind of comes out and, oh, he brushed against my shoulder once. I think that's, this is an opportunity for me to get my name out there to get some money from a settlement or whatever. On the other hand, you know, the voices in not only social media, but when a voice comes up and it gives other people power to vocalize their complaints or what's going on in their lives, it's always kind of important to listen to, because I feel like that's what keeps our society in check, is the fact that the power of the people still matters. Giving voice to our opinions is still very powerful. So,
well,
I don't know. I mean, it's hard to say.
I don't know. Here's the thing. Kevin Spacey was 26 years old when the
so this happened a while
alleged
back.
Incident with Anthony Rapp occurred.
So this is a long time ago.
So he was in his 20s.
Yes,
he was just at the cusp of his kind of fame or whatever.
Yeah.
He wasn't really a big star yet. He was doing Broadway and stuff like that. In fact, arguably, Anthony Rapp was a little more popular at the time because he had been in Adventures in Babysitting and some other movies.
Yeah.
My point is, and I'm not, believe me, I'm not passing this off as like an excuse for Spacey, but a lot of people do a lot of dumb shit in their 20s.
And those 30 years, it's been 30 years?
Yes, since 32.
Those 30 years does kind of pad
it
a bit.
But let me say, you know, though.
Yeah.
But what I wanted to say to wrap up that thought is that... Even if you wanted to pass it off as, he was 26, he was kind of being ate up by the fame a little bit. It was stupid. He should have done it.
It could have just been a one-time mistake.
There you
I was
go.
Drunk.
Even if you
we
want
to
say
to believe
that,
that. We want
then
to
you,
that.
How are you going to explain all the other things that are being added onto it over the course of 30
years?
So
now it's becoming a habit. It's
some
becoming
of them,
a character trait.
Yeah, some of them as recent as this year. Yeah. So you mentioned it, but Spacey made the set of Netflix's House of Cards into a toxic work environment through a pattern of sexual harassment. 8 people who currently work on the show or worked on it in the past told CNN.
8 people, and all kind of sexual in nature, or
basically he made it a toxic work environment for them. They all mirrored that, you know, same sentiment. MRC, which produces House of Cards, said in a statement, "We are deeply troubled to learn about these new allegations that are being made to the press concerning Spacey. And as producers of the show, we are maintaining a safe working environment of our cast and always has been our top priority." Netflix announced late Friday that they will no longer work with projects including Spacey.
Wow.
Any projects involving Spacey.
Oh, goodness. Okay.
Which puts the production of the final season of House of Cards in jeopardy. You got to imagine they're not going to do that now.
Now, I just want to ask again, it was all sexual in nature. Like, because I mean, having an actor who's hard to work with and having an egomaniac creates a toxic work environment.
They were all sexual.
That's bad, period.
Yeah, they were all a pattern of sexual harassment.
Okay, I just want to make sure.
And let's see here. The allegations you mentioned, a couple of them, that he would show a teenager porn, basically forced him to watch porn or threw it on when they were in the room with him or whatever. And then he also was allegedly groped a journalist during an interview, during a paper interview. Is his career over? What do you think? Can Spacey recover? I mean, this is fucking won't stop, brother. I feel like tomorrow there'll be more. How deep can it go before you would actually not be surprised to see Spacey on screen?
I think in our current environment where we're becoming super sensitive to the Harvey Weinsteins of the world, you know, I hope for the benefit of our culture, but you know, for good and bad, we're becoming overly sensitive to these things. Mainly for good, I think, for, you know, like I said, the voices getting out there and feeling empowered to say something and to challenge this kind of abuse of power. I'd say in our current environment, no, I don't think right now Kevin Spacey can recover from this.
Never.
Who knows if it'll change in the future? I mean, but having these kind of things come to the forefront in our current environment, no,
My thing is, like you said, with the current environment, who would work with him?
Exactly.
I mean, who's going to take a
not
shot
just for integrity, but also for the media fallout you're going to get from anyway. Yeah, from anyway.
He is scheduled to be in a new film in December. It's based on a true story, and there was actually a lot of Oscar buzz surrounding his performance in that. And now I wonder how that's going to be handled. I mean, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised they don't even release it.
And that's hard. I mean, of course, like I'd like to sit here on my high horse and say I always act with integrity. But I don't know what it'd be like to be in the position as a producer where you have this film, you spent all this money on it, you believe in the film, you think the work is good, you even think Kevin Spacey's performance is good, yet now you have to release it amidst the storm of Kevin Spacey's personal life and his, you know, work ethic. So,
it's
a hard thing to do. Yeah, I mean, it's a hard thing to do. You want to believe they'll act with integrity, but I mean, who knows?
To wrap up on Spacey, mm-hmm. You know, like I said last week, I mean, it's saddening because I feel like he was such a great actor.
Oh, he's wonderful.
I mean, on screen, one of the best.
Yeah.
I mean, he really was. We mentioned some of his roles. He's won the Academy Award before. Yeah. I mean, you know, different types of roles. I mean, he's played kind of like a serial killer in Seven. He did the drama, the dad and the dysfunctional family in American Beauty.
Yeah.
I mean, it just sucks because of his distinguished career. Yeah. However, I mean, this goes way beyond that, brother. I mean, we mentioned that this is pedophilia.
Yeah.
Depending on how deep it went with rap, but it's a pattern. A pattern.
It's it. And it teaches.
And I want to give people like that the benefit of the doubt and say, he was 26.
Yeah, of course you want.
I did crazy shit when I was in my 20s. Yeah. I did shit that I'm ashamed
of
when I was
young
in my 20s.
How many young men did you come onto?
Exactly.
When you were in your 20s.
Exactly. I did crazy shit in my 20s that I regret or whatever. But did I keep doing them every year for the next 32 years?
Yeah. Or did you learn from it and grow?
Yeah, exactly.
Now, one thing this teaches us, just to give you another brief wrap up on it, another thing this teaches us, especially what's coming out lately, is that there is no amount of power in culture that can hide you from these kind of actions. And that's what it is. It's really an abuse of power. When you think you're untouchable, you start to do these things over and over again and start to exercise this abuse over people. So it kind of teaches you that our culture's not really going to stand for it anymore.
I feel you, brother. All right, so let's do our pee break.
Okay.
Want to do that? That's our entertainment segment.
Alrighty.
I had to cut a couple things, but I want to see what our reflection is here.
You're just dying to talk to me, aren't you?
Since we really have 4 topics, unless we have some crossover, which is fine too.
Who knows?
But I want to have some time to discuss the history of the last year of the show, basically.
The history of the pee.
And what affected us
the
most. The best and worst news stories since we started the show.
You've only added the pee break in the last couple weeks, so for a whole year now, almost, I've had to hold my pee the entire show.
I know. Is that your best?
That's the best thing.
That's your best news
story?
The
best thing that happened is the pee break.
I can now pee during the show.
Thank you so much.
All right, so let's do our pee break. We will feature our pod friend of the week.
All right.
And this week it is the Dan and Cody podcast.
Hey, Dan and Cody.
Yeah, man, those guys are hilarious. We've mentioned them on the show before.
All right.
When we did our Halloween episode. But all their information is going to be in the show notes. You can find them. Dan Hill from one half of Dan and Cody did a fun little rapid fire segment with us a few weeks ago.
Okay.
So we're going to listen to that back, Andy. Go take a leak, brother.
Yes, I will. Thank you.
You can use my son's little Paw Patrol's potty seat there if you need to.
Hey, I will.
And,
I plan to.
You sit down when you pee? You don't seem like that kind of guy.
You know, I like
sometimes.
But I like a challenge.
It depends.
Making the bowl smaller.
If you got a tweet. If you got
making
a tweet.
The bowl smaller, I like a challenge.
If you got a tweet.
Yes. I hear that parents, I don't have girls. I mean, I have girls. I don't have boys.
I was going to say, what?
I hear parents put Cheerios in the potty to
they
teach
do.
Their kids to aim.
They do. I still do that to this day, and I haven't gotten any better. All right. Let's.
I'm glad I didn't eat the cereal you offered me this morning.
Let's take this pee break and pump up Dan and Cody. Andy, we'll be right back, brother.
I'll be here.
It's time for this week's pee break, featuring our pod friend of the week.
All right, guys, here we go. It's time for another pee break with our featured pod friend of the week. This week, I'm very lucky to have Dan Hill from the Dan and Cody podcast. Love these guys. Dan, are you ready for your quick fire questions this week, brother?
I am 100% ready to go.
That's as ready as you can be, man. I'll take it. Here we go. If you could only watch one actor's body of work for the rest of your life, who would it be?
Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
That's a good one. Me too, actually. I second that. What is the strangest word you can think of right now?
The strangest word I can think of right now is parable.
Beyonce or Rihanna?
Oh, Riri. 100%. So sexy.
What did you have for breakfast today?
I had a chicken biscuit from Chick-fil-A. Delicious.
What was the last thing you were late for?
Last thing I was late for was work this morning because I was getting that freaking biscuit.
It all comes back around. All right. On date night, fancy restaurant or order in?
Oh, we're ordering in. Okay. We're ordering in for okay. sure.
All right, Dan, what is something guaranteed to make you cry?
Guaranteed to make me cry? Tooth pain or sunburn. I will cry in the shower.
Complete this sentence, Dan. When I drink too much, I tend to...
When I drink too much, I tend to be the life of the party.
All right. Halloween or Christmas?
How about Nightmare Before Christmas?
A little bit of both. Okay.
And a little I'll say Christmas. It's so joyful.
And the last question, which you probably are aware of, describe your podcast, Dan and Cody, there in three words only.
Hilarious, friendship, variety.
It's Dan Hill, guys, and the podcast is Dan and Cody. Make sure you check them out in our show notes. You'll find all the information there. Dan, thanks so much for being the featured pod friend of the week this week, brother.
Thanks for having me, man. This was awesome.
I feel like I should be in drag walking through my living room right now. Cher, brother.
Cher is powerful.
He's got that voice, man.
Turn back, Tom.
So thank you, Cher. We are going to attempt to turn back time here, Andy.
Yeah, fuck it. Even though time's an illusion.
You told us fucking that. That might actually be mine, so don't
what we're talking about is current memories reflected on in the present about this illusion of past events. I just want to tell you that.
More or less. That's actually what I'm going to name it, I think. So this segment is
I could turn back the illusion of time, that's just memories reflected.
This segment is referred to as our one deep topic. However, this week we are going to have a 20-minute or so reflection on the stories that affected us the most since we started the show.
Yes.
Which has been, like I said, 1 year ago this week. Obviously, we started in conjunction with the election, basically.
We did.
Of 2016, when Donald J. Trump got elected. Do people know that? We announced that on the show yet? I think people know.
What? Not the apprentice guy.
So what I figured. So what I figured we would do, Andy, is I figured we would each give our worst news story. What kind of affected us?
Start at the bottom.
You know, hurt us the most, if you will. And then our best story. What kind of made us good reporting it?
Lift me up.
Who wants to go? You want to do worst first? Because we should probably bring people up after.
Sure. Okay. Or let's do worst. Start at the bottom.
Do you want to make people happy now and then depress them
later?
Or do you want to fucking shatter people's souls
bring
now?
Bring them down.
All right.
Lift them up.
So have your tissues ready. I don't know, whatever else you do when you're depressed. Get your beers out, whatever. Start drinking. who wants to go first? You want to go first?
I'll go first.
All right, so what was your, I guess, what we'll call the worst news story of the year that affected you the worst?
Now, interestingly enough, that we've talked about a lot of dark topics. So there's been all these dark tragedies involving killing, and of course, we have to talk about gun violence. We have to talk about psychological issues. We have to talk about, you know, the climate in our culture that's contributing to that. And those are all things we're going to work upon. And we've had other kind of dark stories, but I'm going to give you something different that's kind of been ongoing that I feel like, for some reason, on an ongoing basis, it troubles me the most.
Okay.
And the thing that has troubled me the most is it has become a fun segment on the show.
Okay.
And that's Trump tweets.
Really?
I feel like the fact that our current president tweets like an adolescent nine-year-old.
Yeah.
An angry adolescent nine-year-old on an ongoing basis, and it has almost become something we laugh about.
Okay.
Because it's become something we're used to. But the fact that he has this kind of emotional, you know, dependency on other people's opinions. He's obviously very insecure, and he just lashes out via the social media platform on a weekly and almost daily basis.
Well, you know, it's interesting.
I find the most troubling.
It's interesting that you chose that one because that one may be the only one that's like always there.
And that's, I think,
never not in the news.
I don't want to downplay the tragedies of Vegas and the tragedies of London.
But this is about what affected us the most.
This is the ongoing, because I feel like those I accept, and it's a tragedy to see the deaths, and then I move on. I try to move forward. And of course, you know, it is. I mean, these tragedies are ongoing as well. But the fact that we all contributed, whether you voted for Trump or not,
right. We
have all contributed to a culture that allows
that's a good point.
The leader of our country, who has this little phone device,
taking poo-poos.
That he's constantly
3 in the morning
just barraging people.
Do you want me to do the jingle?
Yeah, dude.
I'll pull up the jingle.
And the fact that he can't take a joke, he can't take criticism, no matter how positive, you know, his administration acts sometimes, I guess, you know, saying, well, we're going to do this. I think we had Mike Pence going to see that Hamilton and responding to his daughter at the time that this is democracy.
Yeah.
You know, this is what this is what democracy is all about. It's messy sometimes and they're allowed to do this. But then having Trump talk about, you know, fire them. They shouldn't do this. Sad. #failure. You know, his constant barrage of negativity and adolescent emotional dependency or codependency. And
yeah, and he also...
This ego, it's hard. It's hard to deal with on a daily basis. This is our leader.
Yeah, and he also takes a lot of opportunity to pump up his resume on Twitter too.
Oh, exactly.
Like remind people he won the election.
Oh, by the way, guys, I got elected.
So look, since you brought that up,
okay,
let's do it, mother.
This week in Trump Tweets.
This week in Trump Tweets.
But it did lead to a great jingle. Okay.
It did. I'm just looking at his Twitter because I didn't know. There's a little extra going down there. I didn't expect you to say that one. I got to be honest. So I wasn't ready to do this, but I just pulled up his Twitter on my phone.
Tell me what's happening.
So let's see. In fairness, the last day or two, I was looking at him, and actually, he hasn't been that bad.
Okay.
Which is obviously super...
And that's part of the problem that we have to unique. Say that about the president. Like, he hasn't been that bad the last couple of days.
You know, like he obviously put out a condolence tweet about the Texas shooting, which, you know, that's fine.
Yeah.
He, you know, tweeted a little bit about the tax plan that they're trying to get passed, which even if you don't agree with the tax plan, it's not that his tweets were elementary or whatever.
But those are objections to the rule when it comes to him.
Oh, yeah. So here we go.
Like a tweet that has to do with actual, politics, or a tweet that's just a condolence with no egotistical tirade. I mean, that's the objection to the rule.
So here we go. So
give me.
From 2 days ago, the rigged Democratic Party.
The rigged. Still talking about the rigged Democratic Party.
One of the biggest political stories in years got zero coverage on fake news network TV last night. They are disgraceful.
And what is he talking about?
I don't know. He didn't get any coverage last night because they were talking about the Democratic Party. The Russia thing, I guess. I don't know. He's a fucking madman. I don't know what he's talking about. Let's see.
Let me just comment on that.
Oh, here we go. I love this one. Okay. I remember.
Then I got to comment on that because that illustrates something.
I remember what he said. This one. It's a two-parter. He goes, Bernie Sanders supporters have every right to be apoplectic of the complete theft of the Democratic primary by Crooked Hillary. I always felt I would be running and winning against Bernie, not Crooked H. Without cheating, I was right. What he's doing there, he didn't mention it. Real quick, what he's doing there is he's responding to a poll that Fox News put up.
Oh.
That made national news.
Of course it did.
But Fox News put up a poll, supposedly, where they polled people that were Bernie supporters. Okay. And in the poll, Bernie would have lost to Trump. And this is a Fox News poll. I don't believe that, to be honest with you. But I think Hillary actually
and
would
it's
have
a
won.
I mean, you got to understand how polls work. First of all, it's the polling population. Like, who is answering this poll? Second of all, you
got
to do the context. This is a year later, so we don't really know what would happen.
I guess so. You know, he calls Elizabeth Warren Pocahontas because of her Indian descent. Did you know that?
I didn't know
that. So that's one of the things where what you're talking about is just childish.
Yes.
And it's disrespectful.
I don't even want to get on the liberal kind of thing. Well, that's hurtful to Native Americans and blah, blah, blah. I just want to talk about the fact that I'm just going to say it how it is. I'm not going to say it in any kind of style. The president of the United States calls
a U.S. senator,
Pocahontas.
Because she has descent.
Native American descent.
Yeah.
I'm not, so that's all I have to say. Yeah. I shouldn't have to say anything else.
I mean, that's the point, though. He just insults people when he should be presidential. Pocahontas just stated that the Democrats, led by the legendary Crooked Hillary, rigged the primaries. Let's go FBI and Justice Department. So now he's saying the FBI should be investigating again.
Who said they rigged the primaries?
Well, he says that Pocahontas said that, which would be Elizabeth Warren.
Did she?
But I don't know. I didn't see that. I mean,
going back to the original news thing that he said, the fake news thing, is that's Trump's opinion. If the news is against him or not talking about something positive he thinks he did, he calls it fake news. That's his opinion.
Right.
So that's why over the last year, the ongoing Trump Twitter account has been the hardest for me to swallow.
And another thing that's going to make it hard for you and me and other people that share our sentiment on that is that it's not going anywhere.
It's not going anywhere.
He's not
going
to. I mean, remember in the beginning, we were kind of like, maybe he gets inaugurated.
He'll get his feet wet and realize, okay, I'm the president now.
I can't do this.
Because the presidency is supposed to pull you up to its level.
But a year into it, it's been a year since he got elected. A year into it, if anything, it's gotten worse.
It's for good and bad. One, he's not going to change. No. Two, they're not going to get anything done.
No.
They can't.
No.
Because the ego doesn't compromise. The ego wants what the ego wants.
Local elections next week, by the way.
Yeah.
Next Tuesday, I think.
I thought it was tomorrow.
Oh, but this week. This week, yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah, this week. You're right.
Tomorrow.
So get out there, vote, basically, is the point. That's your worst, and it's an ongoing one, so I get it. I didn't see that coming, I gotta be honest with you.
And like I said, I don't want to undermine all the negative stuff that has happened. It's just, for me, because it doesn't stop,
and it's not going to.
I just want to say that we all contributed to this. We all contributed to the environment. That
absolutely, and we talked about last week how, you know,
I'm not pointing fingers.
You know, we talked about last week, too, and this is an extension of that kind of culture that you're talking about. But, you know, for example, the fallout for Kevin Spacey, that wouldn't be as great as it is if it weren't for social media.
Exactly.
I'm not taking anything away from the people that were assaulted or whatever. But I'm just saying, if this had happened in the 80s, it would have made the newspaper, but he would have been working as an actor. And
we also contribute to the culture that creates power struggles like Kevin Spacey and Harvey Weinstein, feeling that it's okay for them to do this. So, I mean, we have to accept our part in all of this.
All right. Well, for me.
For you.
All right. So, your worst news story, I guess, like we said, it's kind of ongoing.
Trump
tweets. We could have this fucking discussion every week, but it's Trump's Twitter account.
Yeah.
And I agree with you, and I think that's a good pick there. Yeah. Well, I say good pick, but you know what I mean? A smart pick.
Yeah.
All right, so the worst story for me, we talked about on our October 4th show. You mentioned it, but it's the tragedy in Las Vegas.
Oh, absolutely.
And there's the obvious reason is that 58 people died, over 500 were injured.
And even compared to other tragedies,
due to
that's
a mass
lot.
Shooting.
That's
a lot. I mean, it's the largest in U.S. history.
Yeah.
So.
Shooting, right?
The largest mass shooting in U.S. history, yes.
Yeah, that's a lot of people. 58 lives, 58 individuals with lives and families and jobs and cares and concerns.
Much like you with the Twitter account, the reason this is the worst one for me is because this is also an issue that's not going anywhere. Not going away.
Yes.
The gun violence I'm talking about.
Yes, absolutely.
Gun violence is not going away. We're not going to talk about it in depth on this show, possibly next week, but you already mentioned New York. It wasn't gun violence, but he was driving a car into a crowd, so it was terrorism. Mm-hmm. And then the church shooting in Texas, which killed, I want to say I read 28 people.
Yeah.
So,
which we still have no idea why.
Right, which was the largest in Texas history.
Which is hard.
So my point is, it's been 2 months, not even, it's been 1 month since Vegas, and we already have another mass shooting in Texas. Mm-hmm. In a church, brother. A small town church.
Which is so hard because these, I mean, I think it's, this is not a good thing, but I think it's easier for people to wrap their heads around New York because he gets out. I think he's claiming ISIS. So it almost gives you, okay, this is a crazy extremist doing this. But, you know, I think it's easier for us to pigeonhole that. And that's why the legislation moves so quickly. Oh, we got to get them Muslims out and whatever, which is not good.
Right.
Small town, Texas. Someone walks into a church and shoots it up. Or even Vegas, where it's a, you know, it's a, just a, I hate to even use the word normal, but a middle class American male who doesn't seem to have any problems. It's hard for us to get our heads around that. But you're right, it's not going away. And
that's the thing for me. That's the thing for me is that it's just a constant problem that we don't seem to be learning from our mistakes.
Because we can't have the conversation. Right. Because there's these two sides of this aisle here that just talk at each other and no one's talking to each other. Like, we can't get anything done because no one's saying, okay, let's actually talk about guns for a little while.
Right.
And see if this is a problem, and if so, how can we make it better? Because no one's talking to each other.
The thing is when I watch a news story and you know, it's national news or whatever, and I'm watching it on ABC or wherever I'm watching it, and I'm crying while I'm watching it, there's a problem. I'm not saying I'm an insensitive person. I'm just saying I know that news sucks and that there's rarely like feel good stuff in the news. Mm-hmm. You know, so they report tragedies, they report
all the time,
you know, murder. They report, I mean, you know, so you kind of get numb to that, kind of like that's what you expect when you watch the news. So when I see a particular story that makes me cry, which happened in this case, because you put yourself in that situation. I go to concerts, I go to football games, I go to, you know, places where there's thousands of people. Yeah. I mean, I could be involved in a mass shooting. My sister could be involved in a mass shooting.
Even the Texas thing, a small church. Yeah, I mean, a small town.
And we talked about movie theaters.
A random town, not like, okay, well, this is New York City or this is like...
And the reason, you know, the reason it's my worst is yes, because of what happened, but just because it kind of... is a poster child, if you will, for the ongoing gun violence. Let me read something here real quick.
It's hard to think we're not going anywhere with it.
That kind of sums up why I kind of chose this. But a Connecticut Democratic Senator Chris Murphy just released a statement this morning. You probably haven't seen it.
Okay.
But he was in reference to the Texas shooting, which just happened yesterday or Sunday. Quote, as my colleagues go to sleep tonight, they need to think about whether the political support of the gun industry is worth the blood that flows endlessly onto the floors of American churches, schools, movie theaters, and our streets, unquote.
Yeah.
Now that to me is kind of what I was trying to say when we had our Vegas show, is like the NRA and support of the silencers we talked about and all this shit, it's all for money. And you brought that up.
Yeah.
It's all a capitalism money thing.
Yeah.
But is that, I mean, people are fucking dying at a rapid rate here for something that we can control, that we can try to fix.
Yeah.
And the pro Second Amendment people, and I'm not saying I'm anti Second Amendment. We've had that conversation before.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, let's have some fucking control here.
Yeah.
I mean, even in Texas where this shooting just happened.
At least a conversation about it.
Even in Texas where this shooting just happened, I read that they just reduced the licensing fees by $100. So now it's $100 cheaper for you to get a gun license than it was last year. I mean, you know, that's just one thing. But I'm saying we're not making it more difficult.
And it's going
to... We're making it more accessible.
And it's going to take time because we live in a gun culture. Guns are ingrained into who we are as a society. So it's not just like you snap your fingers and no one has guns anymore. But it's a conversation. When the mass shooting happens with a rifle or an assault weapon that mows 50-some-odd people down, that's... a springboard for a conversation you need to have about that.
Yeah.
And the problem is,
I
think what's frustrating you, and I understand, is that we're not having that conversation.
Yep.
Because these two sides, and this happens with a lot of things, same thing with healthcare. No one wants to talk to each other. Mm-hmm. No one wants to have a conversation because it's hard. Yep. It's hard to listen and to compromise. It's difficult. Democracy is difficult, but we are becoming less and less a functional
and
democracy.
And I've said this before, about that point of people that just started listening to the show recently, because this was on an early show, but I made this analogy that's kind of, I made it and it kind of stuck with me.
Hey, I'm pretty smart here.
So
I influenced myself.
But you know, if you have the left represented here and you have the right represented here and they're standing back to back and nobody ever turns around to address the other side, then what, we're not going to ever talk to each other.
And that's what happens.
We're just running away from
each other. A great example of that is recently, and this almost goes into my next topic, by the way.
Well, actually, we're ready to go into that. So go ahead. You can have a segue.
My positive is that very recently it was shown that right after the Vegas tragedy, Fox News was saying that, okay, we shouldn't politicize this. We have to.
Trump just said that about Texas, by the way.
We have to give them some give them some time. Give us some time. Give us some time. I can't believe Democrats. So here they're, this is like you said, they're facing away. They're saying Democrats are doing this. Democrats are doing this. Democrats are doing this. Right. Liberals are doing this. Instead of saying, let's talk to someone about this.
Right.
And then, of course, another thing happens in New York, and all of a sudden, well, we got to get rid of Muslims right away. We got to increase the vetting right away. So that goes against our stereotypes. But it's all about the conversation, which leads us to our next point.
So my worst event since we started covering the show was actually very recently, about a month ago, was the tragedy in Las Vegas, the mass shooting there. That leads us to a segue. Let's try to cheer people up a little bit with maybe some better stories. Andy, what is the most feel-good story that we've covered on the show, in your opinion?
This is also something I think is going to surprise you, because it's such a small story.
Yes.
I think we talked about it maybe for 10 minutes, which is difficult for us. And once again, it's not something that's huge. I don't think a lot came from it. I don't even know if we ever talked about it again. Mm-hmm. But it seemed to me to be an example of a possibility of moving forward as a country. It seemed to me to be an example of how this thing can happen. Mm-hmm. And it was the conversation between Tommy Lahren and the host of The Daily Show, Trevor Noah, on The Daily Show, where two individuals who are polar opposites got together and talked for 10 or 15 minutes.
I love that episode that we did, because that was a example of what we had always been preaching.
Exactly.
Of having two sides talk. And Sam B got together with Glenn Beck week after that. It was very similar. So it's like you have somebody on the polar right and somebody on the polar left, but guess what? They're able to have a civil conversation with each other.
Yes.
Now Tommy Lahren fucking ruined it, because she went on her show a week later. And
I understand.
You know, bash Trevor. But that's her base, though. She was appealing to her
base. But for that moment, I remember, and here's a great example of this. I remember they were talking about Black Lives Matter, and they were talking about Colin Kaepernick kneeling. And of course, that has become another story now in the NFL. And Trevor Noah says, okay, you don't agree with Black Lives Matter because of the violence. And you and I have talked about how the violence that ensues kind of ruins the message.
Of course.
And he said, okay, and you don't agree with Colin Kaepernick kneeling. How should we protest?
What can we do?
Either A, you believe there's nothing to protest, which I think is what most people actually believe, meaning that they don't want to acknowledge that racism actually exists. Or B, we're protesting in the wrong way.
Right.
But to sit down with someone who's criticizing you and say, okay, give me an answer. Now, I don't think much came from that, because she kind of, she went and said, basically, okay, I'm not a victim here. They shouldn't be victims either. But to ask that question, so what if it happens, Vegas happens, and they say, well, we should not politicize this. New York happens, and they do politicize it. Why can't we have a conversation and ask them and go, okay, let me ask you then. Why is it okay to politicize this and not this? Right. I'm not calling you out. I'm not judging you. I just want your opinion.
Right. And I've always said, too, if we're talking about the flag in particular, I've always said, too, that it's kind of weird to me and strange that these quote-unquote patriots that don't want people kneeling during the anthem don't take into account the right to the First Amendment, you know, and freedom of speech.
Yeah.
It's just weird. Like, why is standing up for a song more important than exercising the number one amendment in the Constitution?
And if you don't agree with it, and if you do agree with the First Amendment, you know, then what's the better time to protest?
Yeah. And, you know, and honestly, in the First Amendment conversation, these people that are like, I'm never watching the NFL again, fine. That's
your right!
Great!
It's their right to kneel.
You have the right to not watch it. They have the right to kneel. So, you know, now the NFL is suffering as a result, because there are so many, you know, quote, patriots. I'm just using that word. I'm a patriot too, but you know what I mean? Pro-anthem people.
Burning their season tickets?
Yeah, and jerseys and everything else. You know, so, I mean, that's fine. Do that. I think it's fucking stupid. But, you know, do that.
Yeah.
But that's the whole point, is that you're doing that because you're exercising your right. They're kneeling because they're exercising their right. So, I don't mean to get off into a flag thing, that just kind of baffles me a little bit.
Yeah.
I never understood that.
But the whole point of the matter is that, I mean, it's become a stigma over the last, I guess, 10 or 15 years that the two sides don't talk to each other.
Right.
Even in political debates,
right,
they don't debate each other.
Sure.
They debate at abstract ideas.
That's true.
You know, I mean, it's become a thing where you can't get an answer out of a politician.
Or if you're Trump, you're like lurking behind people like Michael Myers.
I remember somebody asked the press secretary about something. What would you say to the families who are losing their health care because of this latest measure by the Trump administration? And she says, well, Donald Trump's a proponent of the Constitution. If you want to change the Constitution, talk to your senator.
Right.
You're not answering the question.
Right, right.
You're not answering the question. Right. You're not having a conversation.
You're giving a runaround, I mean.
Exactly.
Because that's going to come right
back to
us. That's
what it's become. I mean, conversations are hard. They're difficult.
Right.
It's hard to listen to someone. It's hard to, you know, to accept and to honor their opinions. So, it's hard to do that.
So since we,
but I think that's a great example of what it could be.
Yeah. So since we started the show, Andy's best memory is the positive conversation of the left and right. In this case, represented by Tommy Lahren and Trevor.
I just think it's a great example.
Noah, that was a great interview. That was a great moment in time there. She kind of ruined it a few days later.
Yes.
But I get your point. And I see what you're saying. Yeah. So mine, I actually have two that I'm just going to spit off kind of quickly. They're kind of tied.
Okay.
One was a little more fun, The other one was a little more serious. But for me, it was from our April 5th show. We discussed it, but it was North Carolina's repeal of HB2.
Hey, good old North Carolina.
Yep, they took away that bathroom legislation, which basically, I want to say prejudice, but that's not the word I'm looking for, against transgender folks, not letting them use the bathroom. Discriminated.
Yes, discrimination.
How can I think of that?
That's a big word.
I didn't bring my thesaurus.
Discrimination. It's got five syllables.
It does.
You never use five syllable words.
And the NCAA released a statement. They approved of the amendments, and they're going to be back in North Carolina with a basketball game starting next year.
Yeah.
So that was a big thing I felt like, because I felt like that was really, really slowing progression. And you tried to convince me and a lot of people, and I'm not saying you didn't, but that progression never ends.
Yeah.
But that was a period of time when HB2 was around for about a year and a half that it was just kind of like, what are we fucking doing?
Yes. Just because progression never ends doesn't mean it's not difficult and there's starts and stops
speed
along
bumps,
the way.
Right.
Exactly. And of course, that repeal wasn't a full repeal.
No, it wasn't.
But it was a step in the right
direction. Right. It was a Band-Aid on a broken arm.
It's basically just saying that, okay, we're going to let the government, or we're going to let the administration or the business.
That's why I picked the second one, to be honest, because that one wasn't really like a real 100% feel good.
But at the time, it affected you.
I was just so happy to see that gone, brother, because, I mean, we live here. So it's just an embarrassment to me at the time.
It is.
And the runner-up for me, which nobody's going to be surprised. I got to mention Taylor Swift, buddy.
I was going to make a joke about Tay-Tay Swifty.
How could I go on our wrap-up show from when we started, our one-year anniversary, and not mention Tay-Tay Swifty?
Let me guess. Celebrity Bachelorette, Taylor Swift is the Bachelorette.
No, God, how good would that be? You think my wife would let me go on? She probably would.
She'd let me go on. For Taylor Swift, probably.
She'd probably let me go on. It was when Taylor Swift won the trial for $1 over the guy that grabbed her ass in the picture.
It was my bare ass cheek.
The radio DJ grabbed her ass in a photo and then tried to say that he lost her job because Taylor lied about it. And she said, well, yeah, I'm going to countersue you. I'm not going to pay you that money.
Yeah.
Even though she could obviously afford it.
But she countersued him for $1.
I'm going to countersue you, and I'm only going to do it because you have to do monetarily if you want to have a countersuit. Yeah. So I'm going to do it for $1. And she ended up winning. The guy had to pay her $1. She had some great one-liners in court that we talked about. She said, quote, I've experienced every degree of awkward first encounters. This was not a jostling. He grabbed my bare ass. And then she was asked about the incident directly and said, did you actually see him grab it? And she says, no, I didn't see him grab it, quote, because my ass is in the back of my body.
I mean, it's a ridiculous question. Did you see him grab your ass? Well, I mean, ass.
And I mean, obviously, Taylor Swift, I love her. So anytime she has a success, it's great for me as a fan. But what was great about this, too, you got all the Weinstein crap. Yeah. You got all this Spacey crap now. There's a lot of kind of sexual assault stuff just kind of floating out there in the entertainment world.
Yeah.
And this was one where a woman stood up and said, now, I don't know, grabbing an ass. Yeah. I mean, are you going to say that sexual assault? I mean, at a minimum, it's groping. It's not appropriate. Yes.
But it's also the empowered way she did it. Like, I'm not trying to destroy his life. I'm not crying on the stand. All I'm doing is saying, this is what's happened.
You did this.
It's crap.
Yeah.
I mean, look how obvious it is. You think it's okay for a random man to grab my ass? You think it's all right?
Yeah, you did this, and you need to take ownership of it.
It's not okay.
And that's kind of what she did. So I felt like it was kind of a win for a lot of women that have experienced that type of behavior from men that had advances towards them.
Yeah.
Now, Taylor Swift's a A-plus celebrity, but this happens in every workplace, every office.
Every day.
I mean, people
and
are getting...
And hopefully we're becoming more and more sensitive to it and moving forward and becoming more equal. Because like I said before, it's a power thing. It's when you feel like you have power over somebody.
So there you go. That's our wrap up of since the show started. We're at 1 year. What was that? So Andy's worst moment was really the ongoing moments from Trump's Twitter account.
Yes.
I echo that. He also loved, his best was the Tommy Lahren and Trevor Noah conversation that led to a glimpse into what it would like if the two sides would talk to each other.
The conversation.
And for me, my worst was the Las Vegas tragedy, of course, and then the repeal of HB2, and I also had to throw a little shout out to Taylor Swift winning her ass-grabbing trial there.
So if your wife does let you go on The Bachelorette with Taylor Swift, do you think you have a chance?
No. I don't. I don't. In fact, I would probably be sued for some dollar.
Taylor, I just want you to know I'm a big fan. I have no money. I look like this. I'm not planning on working out anytime soon. But I will wait on you hand and foot. I will grovel.
Look what you made me do, Tay-Tay. All right, let's spin our promo for Dan and Cody, the Dan and Cody podcast.
Dan and Cody.
And then when we come up, Andy, we will wrap up this week's show, episode 50, with our pop culture stuff. Stand by, brother.
All right.
What's up, everybody? It's Dan Hill from the Dan and Cody podcast. Head over to Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music, or Stitcher, and check out the Dan and Cody podcast. That's Cody with a K. I know what you're saying right now. You're like, what the hell's the Dan and Cody podcast? We're a comedy podcast. We focus on daily LA life, pop culture, current events, whatever happens in our lives that we think is funny. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter. We're on Instagram at Dan Cody Podcast. I 100% guarantee you will at least grin a little bit. You might smile just a tiny, teensy little bit. Let's get together. Let's hold hands. Let's listen to podcasts all day, at work, at home, in the bathtub. Dan and Cody Podcast. Come on. You know it. You know you want to listen. Come on.
Welcome back in, guys. Two Peas on a Podcast.
All right.
Episode 50.
50.
Gerald and Andy are here, and we are going to wrap up this one-year anniversary
episode
show with
50.
Some fun pop culture stuff. And I thought we would start with this one because we just talked about it for a brief time there in our One Deep segment.
All righty.
A rogue employee at Twitter.
All right.
Deactivated President Trump's account, and it was dark for 11 minutes. They did this on their last day at Twitter.
Yes.
That was their send-off.
Do you think during those 11 minutes, like, people all over the country walked outside and just breathed the breath of fresh air?
Everybody's
saying,
like, oh, this is what it feels like.
This is what it's like.
Actual president with maturity.
This is what it's like.
Oh, man.
Now, of course, Twitter is going to find out who did this, and they're going to get fired.
Yeah.
I think
they left. It was their last day with them.
Yes. But isn't that interesting? It's like this rogue vigilante.
I mean, that's good, right? That's
good. Wonderful. I mean, you know, it's great.
So they use their final day at the company to delete the president's account. The account, which has more than 41 million followers, was restored after 11 minutes, and Twitter says they are conducting an internal interview.
And Trump tweeted about it.
Trump tweeted. He said, that my account was dark for 11 minutes. I guess my message is getting out.
Yes. Your message is getting out there. The one thing, now I want to spin this.
Go ahead.
The one thing that's positive about the Twitter tirades over the last year, Trump can't hide who he is.
That's true.
We know exactly who he is.
But his base loves it, dude. That's the problem, which is arguably half the country.
Yeah.
So his base loves it.
Yeah, it loves it.
They love that he's doing it. They're going to vote for him again in 2020. Mm-hmm. That's why the people that don't love it, it's important.
Yeah.
Because even with Hillary winning the popular vote by 3 million, she still lost.
Yeah.
So it needs to be more than that. I mean, I don't know what to say, because he's going to win middle America. I mean, I hate to say that, but he's going to win middle America. They love it. They eat that shit up.
Interesting. Isn't
that
fascinating?
I'm all about pessimism, brother. All right. So I want to bring people down. So if you're down about that, you can go grab your Krispy Kreme. Here's one for you.
All right.
Here we go. According to, Krispy Kreme is perhaps buying Dunkin' Donuts.
Really?
We're going to spin
this off. Well, Dunkin' Donuts has been falling off for a while.
We're
going to
spin this off, brother.
Krispy Kreme is taking over the world.
According to Bloomberg, rumors are swirling that Jab Holding, the owner of the North Carolina-based Krispy Kreme, is looking to buy Dunkin' Donuts. According to Bloomberg, the transaction would be approximately $8.2 billion, brother.
And then they'd close all the Dunkins and open up more Krispy Kremes?
I guess they'd rename them Krispy Kreme. I'm not sure.
Dunkin' Krispy.
Or maybe they would just buy them and still operate under Dunkin'. Dunkin's a Boston thing. You know, I go to Boston for work.
Yeah.
And everybody up there, they don't care about Krispy Kreme. It's all Dunkin' Donuts.
Well, Krispy Kreme's a Southern thing.
Yeah, So I guess their reach would be further now.
Interesting.
Because it'd be Northeast.
Okay. What do you like better, Dunkin' or Krispy?
Oh, it's Krispy Kreme. No fucking question, dude. I like when my
it's
donut.
So sweet.
I like when my donuts, I want them to basically like not know if I'm going to die if I eat it. Like, I eat it, I'm like, this could be it for me.
Now, here in North Carolina,
I want to
give you a context. I'm going to give you a context how much we like our donuts here. There's a thing here around NC State and downtown Raleigh called the Krispy Kreme Challenge.
Yeah,
Where you eat a dozen. No, wait. You run and eat and run, right? What's the thing?
Yeah, well, you have to eat.
It's a marathon.
You eat a dozen donuts every mile or something
It's a marathon. You run from like NC State's campus a couple miles to Krispy Kreme.
Why do they do
eat
that?
A dozen donuts and run back? It's crazy.
Yeah.
This is how much we like our donuts.
That do that.
It's called the Krispy Kreme Challenge. You run like a couple miles.
You eat donuts.
Eat donuts and you run back.
Run back, eat more donuts. I mean, I feel like that's asking people to vomit, though, right?
It is.
Yeah.
But we do it anyway.
We do it.
We do it anyway.
I would do it just for the donuts. So I would go eat the dozen and then walk like 10 steps and be like, all right, I can't make it. I'm done. I should have had the donuts. Yes. You guys threw me for a looper. All right. So that's,
I didn't know we were actually eating the donuts.
So that's the donut conversation. Okay. Well, how about this if you want to be a little more healthy? So I'm saying the word healthy, but I'm saying it with McDonald's. Hold on, brother. I know you're like, what the fuck is he talking about here?
Whoa.
Mickey D's is testing a new vegan burger called the McVegan.
The McVegan.
It's a new veggie burger.
Oh, how's that going to taste?
It's going to be a menu option for vegans and vegetarians. According to McDonald's, the McVegan is 100% vegetable-based hamburger made with soy. It's going to come with a special vegan sauce, tomato, lettuce, pickles, and onions.
Why has it taken them so long to do this?
I don't know. You can get a veggie burger there, but it's just vegetables. There's no meat on it. So I guess this is going to be, you actually get a veggie burger.
A vegan patty. Have you ever had a vegan patty before?
I've had the black bean burgers that you can get, like microwavable ones.
Yeah.
They're not good. I prefer cows, brother. I prefer fucking death. McDonald's is currently testing the McVegan only at restaurants in Finland right now.
Ah, the Finnish.
It's on sale for a limited time and until November 21st.
I wonder why Finland.
They hope to roll out in the United States in the early part of 2018.
Let's test Finland.
I don't know. All right, there's a couple things here, but we can run through them.
Okay.
So I sent you this. I think I sent you this. Okay. But there's a new clear pumpkin pie for Thanksgiving. Did you see
what?
This? It's a pumpkin pie. It's a see-through pumpkin pie.
Know how I feel about this.
It's a pumpkin pie basically made with gelatin.
Why?
So basically like a jello pumpkin pie.
Why?
The pie concoction.
Has there been complaints over the last couple of years that I love pumpkin pie, but it's too dark?
But I can't see through it. I can't see.
You know what would make this pumpkin pie more delicious?
I can't see my cousin on the other side of it at Thanksgiving. The pie concoction was created at Chicago-based Alinea. In an Instagram video, Alinea chef Simone Davies holds a piece of the gelatin pie with a seemingly normal crust and an itty-bitty dollop of whipped cream on top. The pie is made with a...
Gelatin pie.
The pie is made with a distillation of pumpkin, cinnamon, ginger, and clove. Would you try that? You try it.
I'd try it.
I'd try it too.
I have no desire to
eat. You see the picture?
We're supposed to be getting more natural, not more gelatin-y.
Did you see the picture?
No, I didn't. I don't want to. Don't send me the picture.
All right, so the last thing, brother, and then we're going to end up with 30 for a loop, okay? All right. Episode 50 loop. Here we go.
Loop it up.
Did you start Stranger Things 2 yet?
No, I haven't.
What the hell are you waiting on?
I'm so sorry I've been busy. I don't watch TV.
We finished
much.
It. We watched
What'd
it
you think?
I loved it. It was great.
Yeah.
It was great. It was basically like this first season with just more intricate details for the Upside Down.
Yeah.
A lot more kind of crazy shit going on.
Okay.
But it's like just kind of a continuation.
Okay.
It was great. Steve is awesome in it, by the way. You remember Steve? Nancy's boyfriend that nobody really liked last season with the hair.
Oh, yeah, yeah, with the hair.
He's a fucking hero in this season.
Yeah. He kind of ended on a positive note.
Not really. People were shipping Jonathan and Nancy.
Yeah.
But I'm pro Steve, bro. I'm team Steve now.
Yeah.
He was good this season.
Yeah.
He played kind of like a
babysitter.
Didn't
he end like kind of helping out? And like getting,
oh, yeah. I mean, they all helped out. Absolutely. Yeah. That's true. All right, so
I just thought that he started out as a kind of one-dimensional jock creepy guy, like I like to drink and I want to have sex with you, but then which is, you know, I connected with that exactly
very
but
similar.
Then it's like I thought he was budding at the end.
So the reason I bring it up is Sesame Street is doing a Stranger Things parody this season.
I saw that.
It's gonna be called Sharing Things.
Oh, the Upside Down. Yeah,
that's good, man. Oh, that's, I love it. Sesame Street takes Sesame like pop Street. culture.
Yes.
And something popular in pop culture, and then teach it to kids.
Parodies have so much
because
power.
What's crazy, like my kid watches Sesame Street, he has no idea what Stranger Things is.
Yeah.
So he's going to see this, he's going to think it's Sharing Things.
Yeah.
And what's going to happen is in 10 years, he's going to grow up and he's going to see something Stranger Things. He's going to go, why are they copying Sesame Street? But isn't it crazy how
that's
that kind
of
that
kind of
happens?
Sesame Street. Yeah. Love Sesame Street.
So look for Sharing Things.
Oh.
This month on Sesame Street.
Are they going to have the Upside Down? The world?
Yeah, it's a whole parody. They like redo the whole, it's for like Halloween or whatever.
Oh, that's great.
All right, here's your loop, buddy.
Oh, goodness gracious.
What live-action drama series or sitcom would translate well into an animated spinoff that has not been done before?
What live sitcom would translate into a...
Or drama.
Okay.
Just TV show.
A TV show that would translate into a...
Animated series.
An animated series. Cheers.
Okay.
A bar, but animated, where you can take those bar characters, like the mailman. Hey, how you doing?
Yeah. And you can really animate
them. And you can animate them and make them huger characters. Like, I just want,
a
bar.
There was a bar.
Animated bar.
There was a bar that was pretty prominent in Family Guy and Simpsons.
Yeah, exactly. Moe's.
Yeah, Moe's, yeah.
But it's just about Moe's. It's not about, like, Homer. It's about Moe's.
By the way, Moe's is delicious, is it not?
Yes, I'm not like Moe's.
I'm not talking about the bar now. I'm talking about burritos.
But,
all right, so mine, you
want to
hear mine?
I think Cheers
is a good one. Cheers is a good one because I love that show. You want to hear mine?
Yeah, I got it.
My, I actually have two. Okay. I cheated, but I did the first two that came to my head. Okay. The X-Files and,
oh.
And American Horror Story.
Okay, yeah.
And the reason...
You're going dark.
Let me tell you why, though. Let me tell you why, though. Because Stranger Things made me think in this vein. But the reason is because you have all these supernatural things, yeah. aliens and yeah. beasts and, you know, demons and all this shit.
Great to animate.
That would be, yeah, you can animate them. Oh. And it'd make it a little more believable because it's animated. You can yeah. do anything in the animated world, bro.
Anything?
I mean, look at Jessica Rabbit.
There you go. Episode 50.
I had
folks.
To end on creepy.
Episode 50.
1 year. The creepiness yes. lives in full force. You ready for your final thought?
Well, she dated a rabbit, so you got a chance.
I do have a yes. crap on it. Let me get my music queued up here, Andy. Okay. You got me all off.
Jessica Rabbit, she was pretty.
That's one way to put it, brother. She was definitely.
So you're into cartoons. That's good was, to know.
Yeah, well, I'm into anything beautiful,
what?
Brother.
Go. Go, Andy. Final thought.
Your final thought, episode 50. Yeah. Happy birthday, brother. Give it to me.
Yeah. You know that I just want to ask you out there to ask yourselves, where am I in this? Because everything we do, even if it's Trump's election and you didn't vote for Trump, we all participate. We all contribute to what's around us, to our society. We are involved in everything, especially if it's something you don't agree with, especially if it's something you're against. Ask yourself, how do I contribute to this? Where am I in this? How am I involved? And therefore, how can I make it better? Where am I in this?
Andy, thank you for everything the last year, brother.
It's my pleasure.
We've been friends for longer than that, but this last year...
Have we really?
Well...
You never asked me before.
Seemingly, we haven't. Yeah, okay. But in this last year, I mean, you've been a great partner to me, and we've done a lot of great things here on the show, and I appreciate it. And it's fun to get together and talk about this kind of stuff and vent and get things off our chest.
Yeah, man.
And be creepy towards Taylor Swift and those kinds of things. So I appreciate you being there along for that ride.
I'm here, bro.
Episode 50. That's our one-year show, guys. If you want to support the show to keep it going for another year, head over to Patreon. The information is in the show notes. Also, thank you to Dan and Cody for being our featured pod friend of the week this week. Their information will also be in the show notes. Andy.
Yeah.
Let's do number 51 next week and let's All start right. a new year, brother.
A new year.
A new chapter, new year. Let's do it.
A new year.
Nothing's going to be
it'll
different.
Be like the Chinese just, new year, but it'll be the 2P's new year.
Nothing will be different. It'll just be a new era.
Sounds good.
I don't know. All we'll right. still be bald. We'll still be creepy. I will be. You'll be bald.
We'll be bald.
All right. We'll be bald and I will be creepy.
Got it.
All right. I'll see you next week, brother.
Thank you for listening to Two Peas on a Podcast. The views and opinions expressed were solely those of the hosts and are not necessarily shared by our distributors or hosting companies. Visit 2peasonapod.com for more info.